Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the sticks, me, Matt Beadle, here with the spawny voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew. How are you?
Good, thank you. You?
I'm good. Spawny weekend. Spawny weekend. That is the theme of the show we're putting out there right now.
We are. We've seen a lot of these over the years, but we've never focused properly on them. I think this might even be a new franchise, you know.
What, a spawny?
Spawny goal of the week.
Okay. Have you got a theme tune in mind?
No, that's something I'll have to work on. Yeah.
Okay, this is kind of half-baked at the moment. I feel like you're going to bring the franchise to us, but you haven't. You've just thrown it out there as an idea.
It's constantly evolving, mate. Constantly evolving.
Well, no, it hasn't even started. I think that's the point. But no, absolutely. I think that there were a number this weekend. It's funny how they kind of... I also saw a lot of saves. How do I describe the save? Like the save where you'll move across your goal, you go back on yourself and make a very good reaction save. But it's about six or seven this weekend. We're going to highlight them during the show. But you know, you see themes sometimes and you're like, wow, you might see that save once in a weekend. Then you see it seven times in the next weekend. I feel like we've got a few different themes this weekend.
I'm interested to know what those saves are.
As and when we go through, I'll be like, that's one.
Okay.
You're excited for that, aren't you?
I am. Yeah, very much so. And the spawny nature of these goals is something that's always irked me. I don't know. Have you ever had a spawny goal? There are players, aren't there? Yeah. There are players that, you know, sometimes you see strikers and you think every goal you score either takes a bobble, a deflection, a ricochet. There's never a clean connection. There was a lad who played for Middlesbrough back in the day. Nemet, I want to say. I think he was Slovakian.
Okay.
Yeah, every time he scored, it was just a scuff.
Scuff into the corner.
Every time. I'm thinking of modern day players. I don't know if we should call anyone out.
I'm going to give an unpopular opinion here. I felt like Andy Cole was a bit like that.
Oh, come on.
Andy Cole was brilliant.
187 of his goals.
Oh, he was brilliant. Scuffs. But there was a lot of scuffs in the corner. Definitely.
That's an exception to the rule, though, surely. I mean, there were some fantastic goals in that as well.
It was phenomenal.
No
actually.
Penalties either.
Really?
Yeah, he didn't like taking penalties. No.
Because he scuffed it. There you go. That proves my point. He wasn't a clean striker of the football, I didn't feel. But his, of course, his movement, pace, power, etc., and the amount of goals he scored and knowing where to be, phenomenal. But I didn't feel he was a clean kicker of a football.
One of those players who, when he was good, he was excellent. But when he was bad, there was no middle ground. He was absolutely awful.
I mean, in fairness, I'm probably blinded by, was it the West Ham final game of the season where they didn't win the league? And I just remember him having lots of opportunity. Ludek McClosco. Oh, what a game.
What a game that was.
As a United fan, obviously that was tough as a kid. I remember I was very upset with Ludek McClosco that day. But it was one of them where I just remember he had so many opportunities and just wasn't quite able to get the shot off in the way that he would have wanted to. So I am probably just thinking of that one game, actually. So do you know what? That's the most general remark I've made about Andy Cole. Or Andrew Cole, isn't it?
It is.
Andrew Cole, sorry. Most general remark, and it's probably based off one game.
Ashley Barnes, I'm thinking of as a modern-day player for Burnley.
Really?
A lot of his goals are scuffs. Yeah, he scored a few decent goals, but a few of them, most of them, scuffs.
Scuffs. I mean, by all means, if you guys are listening in, do let us know your thoughts on whether... I mean, do you think he listens in, Ashley Barnes?
I doubt it. No. Very much so. No.
No, that's a shame.
You, ever conceded any spawny goals? Anything? Go on.
Loads. I'm trying to think of any that come to mind, but there were a lot... And again, without being able to give a specific example, because I've seen a lot this weekend where a goalkeeper might make a very good save or do something that is okay, and then the ball ends up in the back of the net really randomly. And I know we're going to touch on a few of those in today's show. I'm trying to think of the real spawny ones I've had. I've actually seen a few goals this weekend, and I will go through them one by one, where I've had very similar situations. I felt one in particular, I always remember that I was running back, ball's hit the bar, and it's done that whole kind of Yakubu thing, you know, where it goes up, down, up, down, up, down, and it's on the line. I'm sprinting back towards the line thinking that everyone's chasing me. So I'm there just ready to scoop it out heroically, like get a good parry out into the court. So if you can imagine, the ball is in the middle of the goal, bouncing up and down, and I sprint back and I go to scoop it out for a throw in, and I end up just scooping it into the top corner. I then turn around and realize no one's within 15 yards of me. And it, so in the end, when you see it on the replay, it looks ridiculous because I've essentially run back towards my goal and like volleyballed the ball into the top corner of the goal. It does look a bit ridiculous. So I guess that is spawny.
Yeah, I might have to see if I can find that somewhere.
Yeah, well, please don't.
What's the Yakubu thing? What's that?
You know Yakubu, when he scored that great goal. It wasn't Yakubu, was it? It was
Yeboah. Do you mean Tony Yeboah?
It was Yeboah. Oh, no, I've just mixed up my strikers. You know what I mean.
Strikers. Yeah. Nearly got there.
Oh, nearly got there. What a goal that was.
That's because you played against Yakubu. You just wanted to bring that up again.
Yeah,
didn't you?
That is true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Good stuff. Okay, and I suppose we can bring this back to goalkeeping in that sometimes when a spawny goal is scored, it is often because you are expecting a different type of strike and the goal is scored.
Yeah, which on a, I suppose on a serious note of sorts, that so often, and in fact I was talking to Dan Bentley about this because he's had two very similar situations in the last few weeks, one where he makes a save, one where he doesn't, where you come out spread in order to make the save. And the one that beat him was the scuff. That the guy didn't quite catch it. I think it might have been Middlesbrough maybe a week or two ago. And the guy scuffed it. And because of that, the spread was ineffective. It's kind of found its way through. Whereas this weekend, same thing's happened. He's made the save because the lad at Blackburn has got a clean strike away and he's been able to get the same spread effectively and he's made the save because of it. So yeah, sometimes it's that... not uncertainty. What's the word that I'm looking for? It's that unpredictability that beats a goalkeeper.
Okay, well, we have plenty coming up, don't we? Bumper show today. I feel like we're going to eclipse the hour. It's not often we do that.
Are we going to do our usual Patreon announcement at this point?
Yeah, why not? Why not? Go on.
Patreon.com/Goalkeepers Union.
Well done, Richard. Yes. Very good. Yes, of course, it does take a lot to produce this fine show that we still have no sponsor for. No. So if you are a regular listener and would like to contribute and just help us out a little bit, it would be very much appreciated.
Do you think the lack of sponsorship is because you still haven't got our Twitter up and running again? Do you think it could be that no one can actually contact us?
Yeah, potentially.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you take full...
I do. I was looking through some of the old episodes, actually, recently, and some of the interaction that we have on Twitter is really good. It's like the lifeblood of the pod.
Mm.
So it's still in process. I'm still trying. Mm. If we don't have an answer, tell you what, if we don't have an answer by the end of March, we'll have to rip it up and start again. Start from zero, which will be soul-destroying because we were nearly at 20,000, which took a lot of graft, but we'll go again. We'll go again.
At least then people can contact us, other than email, which no one uses these days.
No, not so much.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, starting in the Premier League, as always, Arsenal 2, Leicester 0. So we're going to start at the Emirates and an Aaron Ramsdale loving on Sky Sports. A great game from him, great distribution, a brilliant save from a Harvey Barnes header, all round just having fun. It seemed like, and the pundits certainly gave him his plaudits.
They did. It was a very, very good display. You could see he had that nice moment in the final minute of the game where I think the ball's been headed back to him or something along the lines of that, and he's just held the ball and gone down, and he kind of knew in that moment, it's the last minute of the game, 30 seconds left of added on time. Big
he slid
smile.
On his knees, didn't he, as he did it?
Like a child.
Yeah, did a knee slide.
Like a little knee slide, smiling, grinning. But look, it's nice. It's that, especially in that moment when you've played a good game of football, and it's, again, goalkeepers listening in, I'm sure you've all got the same or all felt the same, where you know the game is done, you know you're in the last minute, and you can enjoy that last contribution to the game, knowing that you've got a comfortable lead, 2-goal lead in this case, going to keep a clean sheet. And a nice moment he did. He had a very solid game. I thought that he makes a decision early on, which in the end is the right decision, comes out very wide in order to smother. And again, the compliment started then. But of course, it is a save to the top right, which is the one that gets the headlines. Interestingly, when the save's first made, I think it's Alan Smith on commentary. Unbelievable. What did he say? You'd expect him to make it.
Yeah.
Like, come on. It's only because you've just watched it in super slow motion. Like, watch it in normal time and please tell me that's the save that you're expected to make. But again, it goes back to what we've said so many times on this pod, in that the expectation level of goalkeepers is increasing. So if you're telling me now that's the save that's expected to be made, yeah, we've got some problems.
I think he was very much on his own there, though. He probably regretted saying that because then moments later they showed the replay and had Brendan Rodgers going, wow, what a save. I think Smith thought, oh, crikey, actually, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, and once you've said it, you've said it. And maybe I'm sure that if you were to ask him now, he would retract that comment. And it's always nice as well when you get the reaction of other players, when you get the reaction of a manager like that. And of course, it's against Leicester again. So then that then brings up the fact that he made that save earlier in the season. And this, for me, you know, you talk about Aaron Ramsdale, the different strengths that he has. This is Aaron Ramsdale in a nutshell. You know, that to be able to retreat to the line the way that he did, the power, the flexibility. We speak a lot about when Aaron Ramsdale makes those saves, it does look visually, it's very impressive, you know, because he is so powerful, he is so athletic, flexible. you know, you talk about goalkeepers making saves look good, and that's not said in a negative way whatsoever. There are certain goalkeepers that have that way about them, and when they do make saves, they do look sensational. You know, David De Gea would be another one. And certainly Aaron Ramsdale's got that because of his body type, because of the way that he moves, whereas you'd argue other goalkeepers maybe don't necessarily have that sort of agility, that flexibility, so saves will never quite look so emphatic as the save that he makes here. But it is a brilliant, brilliant save. And of course, in the end, a vital one.
We've spoken a lot before about his demeanour, his personality on the pitch, and the fact that he just does seem to enjoy himself. Like you said, that moment at the end, it seems like he's got a really good friendship, actually, with Ben White, the centre-back. You can tell that during the game, they're having a bit of a laugh sometimes. That moment at the end, bit of a high five, sort of laughing and joking with each other. His distribution was really good as well. Naturally, comparisons are now being made. Not so much comparisons, but the competition is there now between him and Jordan Pickford. And Brendan Rodgers, after the game, said he is the best English goalkeeper at present. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens in the next round of international matches.
Yeah, it will. I think that he's certainly added to his profile with this game. There was a ball he played, I think it was midway through the first half, and we were actually watching the game together, and I made you rewind it, didn't I? Because, again, it was one that didn't get picked up on the commentary. Although, actually, funnily enough, Jamie Redknapp referenced it after the game, where he's like drilled it into the striker. But you actually, I'd love to have seen it from behind him to see what he could see, because he's had to like purposefully duck hook it, effectively, like, to the right of one striker, curling it to the left so it misses the midfielder, then into the striker's feet. Brilliant, brilliant ball to break lines. And you just don't see that often. But he is playing with such confidence. His decision-making was very good as well. A couple of good occasions where he's come out, claimed balls, very dominant in terms of what he did. The real test, and again, not wanting to be negative at all, but the real test will be when it does turn, because inevitably it always turns. You know, a goalkeeping journey is a bit of a roller coaster, and certainly this season, after the tough season last season, this season could not have been a better season. No doubt he'll get player of the season at Arsenal, no doubt he'll be team of the season and whatever else. I can see all that due to happen. But as I say, as a goalkeeper, it does turn. I really hope he keeps this mentality, he keeps this energy, this positive energy, when it does turn. Because certainly the Aaron Ramsdale we're seeing at the moment and the way in which he is progressing, then it's safe to say that Jordan Pickford's got a serious, serious challenge. I know we've spoken of challenges before, but the fact that he's also playing for a club that are going to be top four, certainly top six, but likely top four, you know, he is playing for one of the big clubs, English goalkeeper, he's got all the attributes that Gareth Southgate likes and admires. So it will be really interesting to see what does happen with the next England squad.
There was another passage of play during this game to do with distribution, but we're going to stick a pin in that because certain comments made by a certain Tony Cascarino in the week went a bit viral, didn't they? We'll come to that a bit later. We don't need to spend too much time on it. I'm almost reluctant to bring it up because it's just so unfathomable. It's just beyond comprehension. But Kasper Schmeichel, another good game for him, a classic case of having a good game but still being on the losing side, a few good saves. Let's talk about the penalty scored by Alexandre Lacazette.
Joke.
Right.
It's a joke. And again, we're just going to hit the same note that we've hit so many times. Penalties are a joke. The reward is far too great for what it is. Look, if I'm a manager of a football team, I'm playing for penalties because what is it now? 90% it's got to be that are scored. Strikers, how they're not scoring penalties is beyond me. Like, it's so heavily weighted in their favour now that if you are anything worth your salt, you should score a penalty. It's embarrassing if you do not score a penalty given the rules as they are. So, yeah, Kasper Schmeichel's right. You know, he's the one that's got to stay completely still on his line, yet the striker can do whatever they want. They can stop, they can dance, they can do whatever antics they want. Like, do whatever they want. It's a joke. You know, it's a joke. And yeah, how that's not picked up. And then the commentators, yeah, it drives me crazy. Just, again, everybody sat there in the, you know, all the pundits. I know we're going to talk about a few today but it's, again, it's all very one-sided because they only see it from an outfielder's point of view. Of course they want the outfielder to score. That's what they would want. And there's just no balance in the argument. So yeah, it's a joke. Like, penalties are a joke. Needs to change. Whether it will change anytime soon, probably not. But the problem that football will have is that because the reward is so great and it's becoming greater, that the best managers are picking up on it. The best teams get more penalties than other teams. Yeah, you could argue that's because they have more attacks and what have you. No, a lot fully understand that a penalty is a goal. And penalties now, especially with VAR, are even easier to get.
They are. It's that type of penalty, isn't it? That's the killer one that Alexandre Lacazette took yesterday, because it's the dragging of the back foot. We saw one a couple of seasons ago, and actually I remember us asking Ben Hamer about it. I think it was Eberechi Eze who did the same thing. It was when he was playing for QPR, Hamer for Derby at the time, and just dragging his foot so slowly behind him that he's so close to stopping. But as long, and that's the rule, right? As long as you are continually moving, no matter how slow, the penalty stands. I think the hop, skip and the jump, the Jorginho type of penalty, I think you have to go, do you know what, fair play, because that takes a tremendous amount of skill. Ivan Toney constantly looking at the goalkeeper, I think that takes a tremendous amount of skill. But the shimmy and the almost stopping is, yeah, that needs to be stamped out.
It takes skill. I still come back to the fact that, and again, because a lot have cottoned on to the penalty that scores, and if it is, Lacazette didn't actually do it all that well, in that he did have the real delay. Kasper's then forced...
That angle from behind Lacazette as well is classic. That shows, doesn't it, difficult, because Kasper goes and then has to readjust and then go again.
In order to not be on the line. One of the commentators even made the comment like, oh, he was way off his line. Of course he was way off his line. Like, he's pretty much stopped. So you have to go. Like, you can't... And if you don't go, then that's the whole point, is that then you've got no momentum, so they can just roll it in the corner and they'll score every time. Lacazette didn't do it particularly well, because actually, like, Kasper Schmeichel is forced to go, and of course... Had he have seen where Kasper's going, he would have just rolled it in the other corner. But he'd already made his mind up. He was going to go to the top corner anyway. And in the end, he executes the finish reasonably well. And the fact that Kasper Schmeichel's as good as on the floor, he can't get any purchase on his dive at that point. So his dive is more of a fall with his top hand raised, trying to make the save. But of course, he isn't able to get the power because of the delay. So yeah, look, I could talk about this all day. I don't know if it will change anytime soon, but... Yeah, surely someone must look at the fact that the percentage of penalties is increasing and the percentage of penalties scored is increasing, and someone must see that as a problem. Again, how it's fixed, you know my idea. I know you don't like it, but I just think they need to do something that is more black and white rather than this grey that we have at the moment.
While we're on penalties, actually, someone who does take penalties in a black and white fashion is Harry Kane. Scored another one at the weekend. Now, I have a theory on what you should do when trying to save a Harry Kane penalty.
I agree with it.
Do you?
Yeah, I agree entirely. So you sent me about a 2-minute voice note on what you would do with a Harry Kane. And I agree entirely, because Harry Kane has what I'd call an old school approach to taking a penalty. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a case of he knows where he's going to hit it. He is incredibly accurate and he's incredibly powerful. So providing he hits his spot, his belief is I will score. And more times than not, he does. You know, hasn't missed many penalties over the years. However, he doesn't change. You know, so the goalie could pretty much be stood where he's going to go and he's still going to hit that spot, and he believes that he's got enough power and accuracy that he will score. So if I was a goalkeeper facing Harry Kane, I would go so early, because I don't think he's got the ability, certainly within a step or two of actually striking the football, I don't think he's got the ability to change at that point, because his head's down. He's focused on the ball. He's focused on the part of the ball he's going to connect with in order to hit the top corner. So I think you've got a split second where you can move early and you can get to the top corner. And you need to get to the top corner, because he will ordinarily hit it and it'll have so much power on it. So I agree. If I'm facing a Harry Kane penalty, I'm going very early.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good point. No, I agree completely.
Funnily enough, this is what Kepa tried to do with that Virgil van Dijk penalty, wasn't it? A couple of weeks ago. Didn't quite work out for him, though, that one.
No, and actually, that again is a great point. If someone is going to hit the penalty as well as van Dijk or Harry Kane do, you could go early and still not get there, because there is so much power. I don't think you can, and again, unless you faced it, it's one of those where, yeah, it looks quick on TV, and of course, then they'll show the slow motion, and you think, oh, maybe you should do better. But yeah, it's still really difficult, even as Kepa showed. Even if you are pretty much there, you still need to get a dive into the top corner. It's still very difficult to stop.
Okay, over at the Amex, Brighton 0, Liverpool 2. Robert Sanchez, red or no red?
No red. No red. And again, this is where, look, they've got their opinions. The outfield pundits have got their opinions. That's fine. I understand why they're saying what they're saying. They're saying it's dangerous play. The bit they're not taking into account is that he's not trying to hurt the opponent. In that moment, what does he do? Just let him head it and score a free goal? No, of course, you try and make the save. Now, in order to make the save, you'll create a shape. Peter Schmeichel always used to create the star jump, for instance. Now, had he had done the star jump and someone run into him and his foot hit them in the face, is that dangerous play? Like, for me, no, absolutely not. You're trying to make a save. This is effectively Rob Sanchez in that moment. He realizes he's not going to be able to get there first, so he effectively tries to create a star shape to give himself a chance of making the save. Now, if this is headed, and let's imagine that then it's saved with his foot making that save, we're talking about this being like an unbelievable save of the season, blah, 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 blah. But no, he doesn't get it. The guy runs into his foot. Yeah, look, it's a nasty one. Doesn't look great. But he's trying to make the save. He's not trying to hurt the opponent.
Mm. It's really difficult, this one, isn't it? Because it is a case of if something else had happened, we wouldn't be having this argument. I know that's a rubbish thing to say.
But you're right. That's exactly it. Had something else happened. But the point is, what is the action? Is the action with intent? For me, no, absolutely no intent. Is he just producing a shape to make the save? Yes, he is. So for me, no. Look, yellow card, yes, because of how it ended up and the fact that he ended up, you know, catching him and it was a bit nasty, but there was no intent. It's like that one when two people go up for a header and someone heads the other person. Yeah, it's nasty. And do you know what? It might have a cut head and concussion and whatever else, but there's no intent there. But yes, it's a bad injury. If they go up with an elbow, that's different because now you're going up with the intent of hurting someone. I just don't think there's any intent there. I think the shape he's pulled is to make a save. But no one gave that argument. Look, you know, whether it's a yellow or red, again, we could debate that. But then for me, no one actually gave the argument of the goalkeeper. And again, I know it's broken record and we seem to say similar things every week on this. But just someone look at it from Sanchez's point of view. That's all I ask because none of them did. They're all kind of so disparaging towards him. And yeah, talking down, really, and you know, it's a joke, it's this, how is it not a red? I'm sure the referee's going to say it's a red when he comes on, blah, blah, blah. No one actually gives his point of view. Why did Sanchez do what he did? Is it because he's a horrible person and wanted to hurt the opposing player? No, of course not. He did what he did in order to make a save.
I don't think that even needs to be a goalkeeper either who gives that opinion. I just think that has to be someone who looks at it from objectively. And that can be the presenter on that occasion, Jake Humphrey. Perhaps
he asked
could
the
have.
Wrong question.
Yeah, he did.
He asked
yeah.
the wrong question. And it was, what was the question he asked actually? But it was, oh, what, can we say the goalkeeper's moving? Or something like that. And it was just nonsense because it was the wrong question he needed to ask. The question should have been, can we not just say that the goalkeeper's trying to make a save? And at least if he asked that question, maybe it triggers something in the mind of the pundits and they could consider it differently. But of course, what happened was one said something, the other two jumped on the bandwagon, didn't put any objective thought into it. It was just very easy to, yeah, I think it was McManaman, was it Rio Ferdinand?
And Peter Crouch.
Peter Crouch. Yeah. And of course, they're all, you know, all outfield players. They're going to then, as soon as one of them said it, then if anything, it gained energy and it became worse and worse. And no one gave a different opinion.
Okay. Elsewhere in that game, Alisson, another clean sheet.
Yes.
Another save. People just can't really score past him at the moment.
No, people seem to be scared of him, I think. But no, very, very good. Made a good save. Very good reaction save, actually, under the bar. Got fouled, which was, I suppose the reaction was quite interesting from Neil Maupay when he got fouled. But again, these are nasty ones for me. I just think, again, you do see this for outfield players as well. But when they just leave a bit on the keeper, I just think it's naughty.
You know, serious like, foul play. There you go. Serious foul. Red card.
Red card for
Get
me.
Get him off.
Red card. No, but it's just naughty because you know the goalie's about to clear it. The angle he's coming at, he's never going to block the ball. He is literally just going to catch his ankle. So I thought that was really naughty, that. But no, I thought, Alisson, no, solid save. Big win this for Liverpool. Going along very, very well. And certainly Alisson performing well too.
Okay, the rest of the action in the Premier League. We'll start at Elland Road. Leeds 2, Norwich 1. An extraordinary enter the game here. Ian Melia had just momentarily before been at the other end to celebrate the goal. We love to see a goalkeeper sprinting. He got there quickly as well, by the way, didn't he? He then made a save with his head after what could have been the best goalkeeper assist klaxon we've ever had on the show.
It really was. Lovely ball from Krull.
Unbelievable.
Just a cushion ball over the top. The player should score, it's fair to say. Melia does well because he decides not to commit. He holds his ground, makes himself big. It made me smile, the fact that it hit him in the face in the way that it did, and he just didn't react. Mm. Like, just hit his face, and it was a good save, went off, crucial save, and there was no, like, even touching of the face. You know, normally, ball hits you in the face, you'd at least acknowledge it. He didn't even do that, just got himself ready for the next phase of play. But no, crucial save and massive win.
Southampton 1, Watford 2, a Forster and a Foster.
There you go. And a similar save here from Foster to Alisson. Very good tip over, top hand, moved his feet very well. Good power. Big win this for Watford, it's fair to say. I felt for Fraser Forster, wasn't a particularly good pass out, which led to, was it the opening goal, I believe, or was it the second goal?
It was the opening, I think it was an equaliser, wasn't it, for Watford? Equalizer. Yeah, their first goal. Yeah,
the first goal. So it was, felt a little bit for Fraser Forster here in that he's played a ball out, the ball's played back into the centre-back, the centre-back's played it back to him, so in a triangle, but it was, well, effectively three not so good passes. or certainly two. So the ball from Fraser Forstrout to the fullback wasn't great, but then it's still very much under control, and you feel that Southampton could gain good possession of the ball. The ball back into the centre back's not great, and then the ball from the centre back to Forster was really poor. And then at that point, he's left in a position where does he then commit and try and win the ball? He doesn't. The player goes round him and puts it into the empty net. Then at that point, of course, naturally, you go back to the initial start of the play and the fact it wasn't a great ball out initially. But yeah, for me, it's one where they had plenty of opportunity after that to gain good possession of the football, which they didn't.
Yeah, I agree with you. And for me, that's not on him. I know that his initial part, it was the opener, by the way, wasn't it? It wasn't an equaliser. They went 2-0 up. That's it, right. Was the first goal. But his pass, albeit slightly weak, still reached the target. So by that point, Southampton can then crack on with the move. Yeah. They went back, and it was actually, I think it was Salisu, wasn't it? The poor pass back to Fraser Forster. So not really on him for me, because even though his pass wasn't great, it still reached the intended target.
Yeah, I agree. I can imagine that naturally it's the one, and I come back to that, and again, it's more just for goalkeepers listening in, where, and this is where, again, sometimes you can do the right thing, get the wrong result, do the wrong thing, get the right result. And that there are times when you just get lucky as a goalie, in that you might not perform a technique perfectly, i.e. you might come for a cross, miss it, and nothing happens, and it's forgotten very quickly. Of course, and we've made this point many times in the show, the best goalkeepers make the fewest small errors, I would say, you know, and that's the one where you're playing games and there's not many moments where you're coming away thinking, oh, I got away with that. And it's nice when you do get away with it, but of course you can't rely on the fact that you're going to get away with it every time. This just felt like one of them where it's a very small error, in that, as you say, it's not a great pass out, but it does reach the intended target. For any, you know, statisticians out there, as far as they're concerned, that's a completed pass. And it's the fact that then it doesn't work out so well after that, that I'm aware there are a few people that will then come back to the initial pass and potentially question that, as that started the phase of play. But I'm with you. I don't see, I wouldn't say any fault, because of course it does start the phase of play. But yeah, the bigger errors were after that one.
Final two, good wins for Wolves and West Ham. Wolves away at Everton, West Ham at home to Aston Villa. Jose Sarr, another good performance from him. And Lukas Fabianski making a vital save at 0-0, and then a good save late on too. I thought the Sarr save in particular from Richarlison, I think it was, when it was a ball over the top, he retreated and then advanced. I thought it was quite clever goalkeeping.
Very good. Yeah, really good goalkeeping intelligence. He does. He drops into a good position and then times his advance very well. I think that's the key with this. And we've seen a few saves like this recently where it is very much the cat and mouse. You know, at what point do you drop, or do you hold your position? And even when you drop, do you then take up a good position in the goal? And that naturally it can be an easy thing to overcover the near post, but he takes up a good position. When he does advance, makes himself very big, makes it near impossible for the opposing player to score. Fabianski, just wanted to mention as well, you touched on the save. I thought the save onto the post was superb. Down low to his right, I thought, probably didn't get the love that it deserved, you know, to scoop that onto the post in the way that he did and show that agility, that flexibility. We talk about this a lot with older goalkeepers, but when you look at what potentially you may lose as you become that little bit older, the classic signs for a goalkeeper will be power when it comes to kicking, but it'll also be moments like this. So huge credit to Fabianski in that he's still able to produce saves like this. And for me, that is an indication, certainly a sign, that he can continue to go on for many years.
It is the EFL overview. We're starting in the Championship, of course, where match-winning save from the Dans, Grimshaw and Bentley, matched by a point-saving save from Joe Lumley, is where we shall start. Grimshaw from Cyrus Christie as Blackpool beat Swansea. Bentley with seven stops, including a penalty as Bristol City won at Blackburn. And Joe Lumley flying across his goal. Great save against in-form Millwall.
Yes, that's the one we're going to put a lot of focus on. I believe we're going to have a text talk.
Are we?
We are. You didn't know about this.
I didn't.
You
know.
Did mention it, that it'd be great to have a text talk.
I did.
Now, at this point of recording, we don't have the text talk.
Right.
But Joe has said that we are going to have a text talk.
Okay, right, okay.
So I don't really know how we discuss this.
How long are we going to take to get this? Because we've got to put the pod out.
We've got to put the pod out, yeah. He's probably training at this very moment.
Okay.
So we might have to delay the pod slightly. So I think we record this as if the text talk is going out, so we can do the whole thing over to you, Joe. And then if it doesn't happen, I don't really know what we do, because then it's a bit embarrassing.
Okay, well, we have a text talk.
Yes.
So this is Joe talking about that save himself.
So I started in quite an aggressive position to maybe come and affect the cross, but the ball got played quite deep and towards the back post. So when I realised that I couldn't come and affect it, I retreated to about a yard off my line and got set straight away, ready to react for whatever happens. And yeah, their centre-half, Cooper, won the ball and it was going into the top corner. Took a good step off my right foot and exploded. And yeah, got a good hand there and tipped it round the post. I don't think it went for a corner and we cleared it. So yeah, good save.
Tell you what, he spoke well there, didn't he?
He did. He does speak very well, does Joe. But no, to give my take on the save itself, because I did think this is up there with save of the weekend and certainly the importance of the save. And for me, it is that one. We talk a lot about the moment the cross comes in, the ability to retreat to your line very quickly, which he does. And of course, he's got a fantastic frame as Joe, very powerful, tall, lean. And this is one of those, when it is going in the top corner, you've got such little reaction time, speed of feet, power, ability to get yourself into that top corner at the speed at which he does. Very, very good. And this is certainly up there for save of the weekend.
Interesting comments from Chris Wilder after the game on this. He's got to make saves. He said, there are no hiding places for players and certainly none for a goalkeeper. Mistakes get highlighted, but hopefully that one will get highlighted as much as any mistakes Joe's made. Keep saying mistakes. He's just made a great save. That's three times you said mistakes. He's got to make saves between now and the end of the season. Cheers. We've got to defend better than we have recently, like we did today. Yeah. Just felt just, like it was a backhanded compliment yet again.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I get the impression from, and again, you just see how managers operate. He does come across as a very black and white manager. This is how it is, and that's fine. You know, it's probably for us not to read too much into the comments. I mean, the key bit there is what he said in regards to hopefully he gets the plaudits for this, because he does. And I know what he's touching on. There's been one or two games where maybe there's been a goal or two that Joe might have felt he could have done a little bit better with. But then also coupled with that, he's had so many standout performances this year. Of course, Tottenham being a great example. Now another massive moment here. So it's one of them where I really hope, just on the whole, the general mentality does become more towards goalkeepers making save and that being the memory. You know, we've said it on the podcast before that you ask a lot of people, what do you remember David Seaman for? You know, I'll talk about Pesky Salido's save or other fantastic saves or trophies or whatever else that he won. Yet a lot of people will talk about
Naeem, yeah, Ronaldinho,
which is a joke. And yep, that's, you know, it's David James for the 800 or whatever it was games he played. What do you remember about David James? And that's the problem with the mentality towards goalkeepers in general. And that's probably highlighted here by these comments.
Okay, I don't think you've mentioned that before, have you, about Seaman? First time, I think.
Maybe first time, yeah. Yeah, all right.
No, it's a very good point. Well made. Very good. Also good was Ryan Allsop, but Derby not able to stop their recent rot at Bournemouth. Di Cornell not credited for the slightest of fingers to tip a Dem Dehaney effort onto the post as Peterborough and Stoke played out a draw. Three talking points in the game between Luton and QPR. David Marshall, a worldy stop in the first half, but then the goal conceded. Slightly dubious, I think, from Cameron Jerome, and a dubious winner too for QPR. James Shea impeded, and the first Spawny goal of the week contender, Wes Fodderingham for Sheffield United, with what was horrible against Coventry. How this went in, I do not know.
No, well, lots to pick up on here. So you remember I said at the start of the show about the save back on the goalkeepers?
Yes.
Yes. So one of the examples was Ryan Allsop made a couple of brilliant saves, but the one in particular where he's moving his feet to his left, the ball goes back up to his right and he gets himself back to make the save. Then David Marshall, another great example. He's moved his feet to his left. Ball's been crossed in, taken up the perfect position for me. Didn't go too far. You often see it where goalkeepers will go too far, gets headed back across you and you just can't do anything. He's held almost a slightly false position, I'd say, in that he's got a cross and he hasn't gone too far, which allows him to get back on himself. Brilliant save. As you say, I think he'll be frustrated with the one that did beat him. It's that horrible one that we've seen so often, that squirmy. You try and get yourself down, try and trap the ball against the ground, but it's just squirmed through him. Perhaps angle of dive ever so slightly back, But look, I'll try and focus more on the positive, because I did think the save that he made was very, very good. And yes, Spawny goal. And actually, this then comes back to what I mentioned earlier about the moment I had when I was running back towards my goal and just scooped the ball in the top corner, which actually happened to be against Sheffield United. So we are talking about Sheffield United here. He kind of had a similar thing in that I just felt when he was running back towards the goal, he's almost preempted that someone's then going to fire the ball at him. He's almost slid by it, and it was just an incredibly Spawny goal. How it's managed to somehow find its way in, I've got absolutely no idea. But yeah, certainly that is Spawny goal number one of the day.
Mad game at the Hawthorns 2. Now, we spoke of an Aaron Ramsdale love-in earlier on in the pod. Lee Nichols, he received quite the love-in from Don Goodman, I believe was the co-commentator. And they mentioned around 6 goals prevented this season by Lee Nichols. Now, Huddersfield had the worst defensive record of all championship teams last season. So that shows just how much they've improved and what a difference he's made to the team. Highest save percentage in the league as well.
Yeah, and in fairness, he deserves all the plaudits. I think he's been sensational. You know, if someone had said this time last year when he wasn't playing MK Dons that now he'd be in a team top of the championship, no doubt going to be player of the season, very much has a chance of being in team of the season, I'm sure, if he keeps doing what he's doing. So huge, huge credit to him. He was getting a lot of love on Sky, which was nice to see. Did make a very good save. What I liked about this save was the fact that he's had to look round bodies. You know, we spoke about that a lot recently in the pod, where the ball has come through bodies and deceived goalkeepers and maybe pundits not necessarily understanding the situation. And this was a good example where he's had to, you could see the effort he's gone to in order to see the strike. He's looking to his right hand side, leaning to his right hand side to see the ball struck, which in the end is vital, because if he doesn't do that, he won't see where the ball struck from and this will just fly past him. And it'll be one of them that he's unsighted. We wouldn't necessarily blame him because of that, but the fact that he's able to see it, then readjust back to his left, he won't have seen the ball till late, get a good dive away, makes a really good save, good parry into a safe area, makes the save actually look very simple in the end. But it was very, very good. What he's also done now is he's bought himself a lot of credit in the same way that we spoke about Aaron Ramsdale. Very similar here, that there was then one where he's gone for a punch, didn't quite execute the punch, but no one says anything negative. So it's quite nice when you get yourself into that position where you can sense that you are riding the crest of a wave where there is such positivity behind you. And it's interesting talking about that, because at the opposite end, you just wonder whether it's starting to shift a bit with Sam Johnstone, which has been overwhelmingly positive for so long now, certainly after the Premier League season. And even now, there's still stories every single day in regards to which team he's going to join. And he is arguably, I think most people would argue this to be the case, that he is the most valuable free transfer this summer. So he's being linked with every Premier League club. But he has had a bit of a tough time of late and certainly had a tough evening. Seemed to take ownership straight away after the game. Looked at the fans and made a real point of saying, that's on me. You know, sorry, that was on me. Just one of those nights, really. The first one, ball comes back to him. I mean, it's an obvious thing to say, and again, lesson for young goalkeepers listening in. When the ball comes back to you, a pass back from a fullback, if you've got someone closing you down, ordinarily you would then move the ball across onto your left foot and look to clear or pass with your left foot. He was so adamant that he wanted to keep it on his right foot. That, of course, gave the attacking player the chance to close him down. Still probably could have got the ball away, but just a little bit slow in his delivery. And then he is unlucky. You know, at that point, the ball can ricochet anywhere. If it goes wide, this isn't mentioned, but the fact that it then ricochets back into the goal, of course, he's going to have to hold his hands up on that one. And then the second one, look, it is an error, but at the same time, I know these are difficult. Shot from distance, it's just come off him. You know, it's come off him by a yard or two, and that allows the attacking player to follow up, score the goal. These are really, really difficult to hold, and this is one of them. It's what, of course, you'll train all day for, that shot from distance, bouncing just in front with power. Have you got the ability to grip it? Can you hold it in that moment? Unfortunately for him, and it is a difficult one to hold, it's just popped off him. You're just hoping at that point for a little bit of luck, maybe a defender to help you out. They didn't, and of course, it ends up as a goal.
It is funny, isn't it, when you look at what can happen over the course of a season and how there can be that shift in narrative, in performance, in perception of you as a goalkeeper. And I don't know, rewind, what, 6 to 8 months ago, Sam Johnstone flying high in the championship, most clean sheets I think he was for a period of time. He's still actually up there. That just shows how many he made at the beginning of the season, playing for England too. I don't think he's conceded a goal yet for England. He had that assist in that game away from home. I can't remember who it was against, but Jack Grealish crediting him for that. Yet, since then, he had the fallout with the previous manager. He's back in now with Steve Bruce, but his form has just slightly dipped. I think he'd probably be the first to admit that. So when you compare and contrast, and there was even an article in online that I saw at the weekend about Lee Nicholls saying, well, if Sam Johnston's in England contention, why is Lee Nicholls not in England contention?
I saw the article. It is a really interesting time for him. I know that you mentioned the previous manager, and it just seemed that there was a more of a slant towards David Button playing at that point. And of course, that created a bit of an issue with Sam Johnston. Steve Bruce being back in, of course, knowing Sam Johnston from before and having done well from before, put him straight back in. It's just an odd position to be in, and I guess it's quite an interesting talking point, because if you are a goalkeeper at any position and you're running down your contract, and there's a very good chance you've got something very good in the offing, and I just guess, what is your mentality? Now, look, it looks like on the whole it's been very good. Sam Johnston, you know, certainly has had a solid season, it's fair to say, without it being of the levels of last season. But where is your head at when you've got a couple of months left of the season? The team seemingly aren't going anywhere this season. It's going to be another championship season for West Brom next time out. So where are you if you're Sam Johnston? Do you then, you know, of course you want to play and give everything to the team, but there's always that slight worry of injury or something not quite going right if you've got something life-changing in the offing. So I think from a human level, it's a really tough position for him to be in. And it's not just Sam Johnston, it's any goalkeeper that's running down their contracts at the moment, which of course every goalkeeper, every player has their right to do. And I think in his situation, it is the correct thing to do. But it must be a really tough position to be in mentally.
I want to get into that more. We won't do it on this podcast, but I think that's a deeper conversation about players, not specifically goalkeepers even, who are at the end of their contracts and how their mindset and their headspace can change. We'll talk about that another time.
Okay. Let's put a pin in it.
Yes, we'll put a pin in it. Just the last eye-opening stat in the championship that we shall flag is to ask you the question as to who's made the most saves in the championship this season. There are two goalkeepers tied.
Brad Collins.
Yes. Tied with, and this is why it's eye-opening.
Okay. Do you know, I would have said Dan Bentley, but he hasn't played a large number of games, so it's not him, is it?
No, and we've mentioned him quite a lot. Just recently.
We've mentioned him quite a lot just recently, so therefore, that will be...
Literally just now. Pretty much, yeah.
So, therefore, Sam Johnston?
No.
Oh, we just mentioned Joe Lumley. We just mentioned Ryan Allsopp. We just mentioned...
It's an absolute shambles.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know who we've just mentioned. Look, I've got the memory of a goldfish. Who did we just mention?
Lee Nicholls.
Yes.
So one
is eye-opening.
114 saves. Wow. Now, that's quite incredible, isn't it? Because Brad Collins of Barnsley struggling at the wrong end of the table. Huddersfield fighting potentially for automatic promotion.
Yeah. That is... Well, look, the race for automatic promotion baffles me. I saw a stat the other day. Was it Blackburn have scored... Is it 3 goals in 12 games? And yet they're still 4th. It's just, I mean, the top end of the table, there are so many teams now that are bunched together. You would think that Fulham and Bournemouth will find their way, or certainly Fulham, and you would think that Bournemouth will as well find their way to the Premier League. But it is just a fascinating race up the top. And look, that does surprise me on one hand, but doesn't on another. I mean, he has been exceptional this season. I know that Dan Bentley was in the... Do you know the number of saves he's made? I know it was him and Brad Collins not so long ago, but of course he then missed 9 games with Max O'Leary playing. So, no, really interesting stat. Similarly, in the Premier League, I believe David De Gea is the similar candidate who's made a lot of saves, and United still find themselves, was it 4th or 5th or what have you. So, yeah, that's always got to be a huge compliment to a goalkeeper.
97 for Dan Bentley.
97,
third.
Bear in mind, yeah. He missed 9 games, which is another third. One. Like Bristol City, from what I understand, statistically, probably should be bottom 3. But yeah, he's made a hell of a lot of saves.
It is interesting when you look at the table now, because Bielkowski, 96th in 4th. Millwall, you know, still up there potentially with a playoff hope. And Mark Travers, also up there, 95.
There you go. Yeah. You've also got the fact that it will be... There's not many teams that have stuck with a goalkeeper all season. That's something to bear in mind. Probably, and again, I'm saying this without any factual knowledge, but this season, it does feel to me like there's been more chopping and changing of goalkeepers in the Championship than perhaps years gone by.
Moving on to League One, where Nick Zanev had a bit of a Sam Johnston copycat moment, dispossessed late on against Lincoln as the Imps wobbled the Wombles. Fleetwood were nine without a win coming into the weekend. Cue a goalkeeper change. Classic, we've seen this many times. Alex Cairns, ever present this season. He hasn't missed a league game since January the 23rd of last year. He was replaced by Kieran O'Hara at Burton. Of course, O'Hara's former club. The home side coming back from two down to win 3-2 and thus making it 10 in a row for Fleetwood now. Also, I thought the Fleetwood opener was such an unlikely goal. Spawny, you might say.
Have we got the Spawny theme tune, or we're still waiting on it, aren't we?
Still waiting. Yeah.
I mean, but we should do it because there are so many Spawny goals. I would agree with that. Just to pick up on a couple of the points. So yeah, Nick Zanev. And again, that was kind of unlucky in that he was closed down. There's so much that can happen thereafter. And of course, then it's that horrible moment when the ball gets squared and he's essentially got an open goal. I felt for Craig McGillivray, it's fair to say, because I know he got a couple of comments from the manager saying that he should be a bit more dominant. But I've watched this footage and this passage of play, and I don't really know at what point he can affect the play that much more. I don't know what your thoughts were.
Well, we haven't mentioned it, but that's fine. We can jump straight onto that. Absolutely
fine. Was that going to be a talking point? Was it really? Okay, so let's put a pin in that, and let's come back to that in a second, because I felt sorry for him. Alex Bass, I thought, was very good. We haven't gone on to that either, have we?
That's League Two, Richard. He's all over the hockey. That's because you weren't listening to a word I was saying a second ago.
I think it was because I had a little pain in my knee. Right, so as you were talking, I was just attending to the pain in my knee. So I just assumed it would be the running order that I have. So, yeah, sorry, my knee's feeling a lot better, though.
So, the Fleetwood-Burton game, yes. The goalkeeper change. So Alex Cairns out, like I said, hasn't missed a league game since January 23rd of last year.
Mm.
So they brought in Kieran O'Hara. It didn't stop the rot. It'd be interesting to see what happens next game.
Yeah, it will be interesting. I mean, look, we've seen that. So many teams this season, it does just feel and seem to be that when a team is having a tough time, it's always that classic cliche, something needs to change. So the easy position is the goalkeeper. And quite often you will see a change in fortunes. And it's always that question, well, was it because of the change or was that going to happen anyway? The only bit that I agree with is sometimes a change of a position purely for the change of mentality. Someone stepping in, feeling like they've got a point to prove. If the team have been on a bad run, they know they're stepping in with nothing to lose. But often, as you see in this situation in particular, nothing does change. Then if you do have a preference as to your number one, who it should be, do you then put them back in?
So that Spawny opener leads us nicely to Accrington's equaliser in their game against
Charlton.
There we go. Absolute goalmouth scramble of justice here.
It really was. It was ping pong, wasn't it? It was to the far post, back across, back across, back across. I think at one point McGillivray does get a fist to it from memory. I really felt for him though, because even the ball then, the way it ends up in the top corner, it's a real scramble over the goal line. But yeah, as mentioned, I heard a couple of the comments from the Charlton manager. I just thought it was a bit harsh, just saying that he should be a bit more
Yeah,
bit more
he said
dominant.
He's not commanding enough in his 6-yard box.
Which is, again, and this is where there is no black and white for me, in that I think it's that cliche that a goalkeeper should claim everything in their 6-yard box. Well, of course, that can't be true. You know, corners are very different, for instance. Yeah, if it's a nice chipped up ball 6 yards out and it's got plenty of airtime, then yes, a goalkeeper can maneuver their way to come and claim the ball. But in this situation, I didn't know at what point he could do anything more than what he did. So I'm sure he would be a bit frustrated with those comments. And it wouldn't surprise me if perhaps he has a conversation with the manager.
Another game just worth mentioning was the one between Doncaster and Gillingham, Basement Boys battle. I just thought it was interesting to look at the opposing goalkeepers here, because you have Jonathan Mitchell at one end and Pontus Dahlberg at the other. And this right here is the life of a goalkeeper type of situation, where you have two goalkeepers who have spent the past 3 or so seasons on loan, unattached, free transfers. It was nice that they both came together, I thought.
Yeah, and of course Pontus Dahlberg back in the team, because he hasn't played the last few games, and of course against the team he was on loan at the start of this season. So he was a very happy man on Saturday night to get the victory. Big victory for Gillingham. They've given themselves half a chance, in fairness, since Neil Harris has gone there. But you're right, it was nice for both of them. From what I've seen, it certainly looks like Johnny Mitchell is very much back on track. Didn't really have a look in at Hartlepool earlier in the season. So to jump up a league and to find yourself as as number one now. Great for him and really a good platform to build on.
Into League Two, Nick Townsend doing a job again. James Belshaw doing a job again. Wins for Newport County and Bristol Rovers. Alex Bass, you mentioned him earlier, good hands. And a first clean sheet since joining Bradford on loan from Portsmouth. Paul Farman of Barrow, a nice spread to deny Tavon Campbell of Rochdale. Always have to chuck in a spread there, don't we? Nice to talk about a goalkeeper spread.
Absolutely. And there was another Spawny goal.
Go on.
Is it Port Vale? The Aidan Stone one? That's got to be in the Spawny bracket.
Yeah, not there yet.
Very good save.
It's coming at the end.
Oh, is that coming at the end?
Yeah, that's fine.
This running order. I'm blaming the running order. Right. Yeah, Alex Bass. I can finally mention that. I thought he was very good. Pleased for him. Of course, good loan this in order to show what he's about. Was sat on the sidelines at Portsmouth for some time. And of course, Bazunu going in there wasn't really getting the look in. But from what I've seen, and certainly this weekend, a very good performance. Great result that against Forest Green. A couple of really good saves. One in particular to his right-hand side, thought was very good. Nick Townsend does seem to have a regular slot on our show, doesn't it? Which is huge credit to him. Plenty of saves, a couple of really good saves. The double save in particular from the poor pass back I wanted to highlight. More for the fact that poor pass back comes out, is able to spread to make the initial save. But it's a second save where it's that realization that you're not going to be able to get yourself back into position. So he just holds and he's in no man's land, effectively a good 9-10 yards out, not the position he'd want to be in, but he has the awareness, the intelligence in that moment just to hold and say, right, I'm going to try and make the save from here, which he's able to do. So really good tip over the bar from quite some distance. So really good save there from Nick Townsend. You mentioned Paul Farman, good save with his feet, very, very good. And now do we move on to Aidan Stone?
Yes, we will in just a moment. But Dean Buzanets first, Richard, injured in the warm-up for Sutton, which meant 40-year-old Stuart Nelson has given his bow. First game since November 2020. A wily old campaigner back, a Brentford legend, might say. It's nice to have one of those on the show. Yeah. First time, so that's good. Luke McGee up for corner as well for Forest Green Rovers. A goal scored by Bradford. Classic case of the goalkeeper coming up and an open goal for the opposition. And the Crawley opener at Port Vale, you might say, Spawny.
Spawny. It was. Really Spawny. Good. I knew that would be one. I knew that was on your list. Yeah, look, pleased for Stuart Nelson. He's still, for anyone that follows him on social media, still in phenomenal shape. You know, obviously still, 40-odd years old.
I like the cut of his jib. His LinkedIn is very good too.
Oh, is it? Yeah. I haven't seen his LinkedIn. Mm. Okay. Yeah, no, he's got, a very strong mentality. Certainly keeps himself very, very fit. Obviously still wants to play. Huge credit to him that you see, well, me being an example, a lot of goalkeepers being an example, that you get into your 30s and when the body starts to go a bit and you get that little bit older, that it can be easy to walk away from the game. But credit to him, he obviously still loves what he does. And yes, Luke McGee coming up for the corner. It was that classic one as well, the goalkeeper running back, that scene that we've seen so many times. And actually, in fairness, his running style wasn't too bad. You know, ordinarily the goalkeeper's running back, I'm sure a lot of us are in this bracket, aren't the most natural runners. And yes, the Spawny goal, it was incredible. He actually makes a really good save, Aidan Stone, in for Thomas Holy. Made a really, really good save. And I think it was a defender, wasn't it? Trying to clear it and just kicks it against his own defender. So frustrating for him. Clean Sheet Club. Well, hasn't that been jam-packed? We are not done yet because it is time for this. And we start in the Premier League with that man, Alisson, better than ever. David Raya, first clean and win since returning. Edouard Mendy, 3-4. Jose Sarr, yes way, Jose. Aaron Ramsdale, 5 wins on the bounce, bookended by blanks. Neil Etheridge, he blue knows best. Matty Ingram, 3-5. Dan Bentley, heavenly sently. Dan Grimshaw, back-to-back. Mark Travers, keeping those cherries popped. Alex Smithy, slowly creeping. Dan Everson, cool like Carlsberg. Bart Bierkowski, I'm the GK that made shot-stopping an art. Last name Bierkowski, first name Bart. Joe Lumley, doing it like a dude at the Den. Ethan Horvath, hat-trick. Jordan Wright, new kid on the block. Mike Cooper, 3 in a row. Pontus Dahlberg, diving hard with a vengeance. Christian Walton, 9-11. Gavin Bazunu, aiding Pompey to 8 unbeaten. Bailey Peacock-Farrell, a cleanie, as easy as NBC. Anthony Patterson, number one over Ron. David Stockdale, Wickham's only one. Josh Vickers, not one, not two, but 10 shutouts in 12. James Belshaw, for sure. Cam Dawson, snappy stopper. Tom King, whammy. Alex Bass, lighting the sparky. Ben Killip, ponytail-tastic. Lawrence Vigouroux, vamos. Jay Lynch, pin the tail on the blankie. Paul Farman, sixth stalemate of the season. Nick Townsend, doubly jubbly. Jojo Wallacott, win a lot. Carl Rushworth, handing Sutton his very own Legion of Doom.
That was epic, wasn't it?
That's a lot this week.
That was epic. How many clean sheets were made this season? Oh, sorry, this season, this weekend.
What are we talking there? 20, 25?
35.
35.
So we had 32 a couple of weeks ago. 35. I think that might be a record.
Yeah.
I'll go back through the archives.
I wonder if there's anything to that. I do wonder sometimes, like, was there anything this weekend that was particularly special or gave a goalkeeper a better chance of keeping a clean sheet? Or is it just sheer luck? Is it just sheer randomness? Because I always used to feel, or I've got certain beliefs on, like, certain games that you can sense are going to be a draw because maybe the agenda for both, or a draw suits both teams, or it's a local derby, or, you know, and you kind of feel, oh, that's got a good chance of being a draw. Now, I don't know if there's anything that backs that up. That's just like a personal. So I then sometimes feel like you have a weekend, we have a load of goals, and then you'll have another weekend, we have a load of clean sheets. You just think, is there a reason behind this? Or again, is it sheer randomness?
Sometimes to do with the weather, but I don't think you can even say that this weekend.
It's just a regular March weekend.
Mm.
Mm. Well, there you go.
The table?
Go for it.
Liam Roberts still topping the pile with 17 in 36, but slowly creeping up behind him now. The Brazilian pair, Alisson and Edison, both with 15. Alisson in 26, Edison in 27. Lee Nichols also there with 15. That's in 35. And then with 14 apiece, Gavin Batzunu and Luke McGee in 34 and 35, respectively.
There you go. They're hot on the heels.
So finishing up with a few bits and pieces of admin. Firstly, it was in the week, but we're going to have one of these. Alex Palmer on an emergency loan from Luton. Just his second game for the club. Second of two games, his last game for the club. But an assist.
Indeed. Yes, a good opportunity for Alex Palmer. We mentioned him a couple of times on the show over the year and that it's been a frustrating one this season after such a positive season last season at Lincoln, getting plenty of games, just the one game, wasn't it, prior to this loan. I believe it was Arsenal in the Cup from memory. So to get a couple of games, ideal for him. And yeah, certainly did himself justice in the second game in particular to get the win, clean sheet, assist. Yeah, phenomenal emergency loan for him.
Speaking of having many clean sheets this weekend, and this being a particularly bumper show, I took the liberty of having a look at how many goalkeepers have made assists this season, because it feels like that's something that's just gone crazy as well this term. So we have Si Moore, Dan Grimshaw, Craig McGivalrais, David Stockdale, James Trafford, Mark Oxley. There is an argument there could be two with Mark Oxley. Luke McGee, Joe Day, Dean Boutsanis, Christy Pym, Jose Sarr, Ben Foster and Alisson. That is a lot, isn't it? I feel like we've had loads. We had a couple in AFCON as well. Mike Maignan, the AC Milan goalkeeper we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. Bono, the Sevilla keeper. There were two in the international week that we spoke of, Sam Johnston and Robin Olsen of Sweden. So just goalkeepers just weighing in with assists.
Very impressive. So I don't think I've ever had one.
Really?
No.
You would know that, surely, if you have had one.
Yeah, couldn't kick it far enough. But now you're seeing more and more.
And as many. So those goalkeepers who have one assist, Mark Oxley, like I said, I think it's two, but a slight nick off the striker in one of those games. But as many as Wilfried Zaha, one assist this season. Raheem Sterling, one assist this season. Thomas Suchek, Jorginho, Jack Harrison, Christian Pulisic, Dwight McNeil. I could go on, all with one assist this season. EFL Trophy, let's quickly touch on that because some real goalkeeping talking points here. Dean Boutsanis, the penalty hero for Sutton. Ben Killip, very nearly the penalty hero for Hartlepool. A very good performance in the 120 minutes. No, 90 minutes, no extra time in the Papa John's. My mistake. And Victor Johansson, also a hero for Rotherham.
Yeah, some very impressive goalkeeping performances. And certainly you felt for Ben Killip, you know, hugely pumped up, made a couple of great saves, really good save during the game down low to his left. and then very good penalty save. You can see just how much it meant to him, but in the end was to no avail. And certainly Victor Johansson, they're going along great guns, obviously, as a club. So to make a final, big save in the penalty shootout, big save in the game as well, but good save in the penalty shootout to his right-hand side. And yeah, exciting times ahead for them.
Did you see the world record penalty shootout story, no, by the way, during the week? So a world record 54 penalties were needed to separate two non-league sides from England's northeast in a Marathon Cup shootout on Wednesday. Quite remarkable. It was Washington who overcame Bedlington 25-24. The previous record was 44 spot kicks.
This was what, 54?
This was 54.
Which kind of proves my point. Actually, that could be the theme of this podcast, penalties. It kind of proves my point. So that's essentially, let me do my maths quickly, that's 49 scored out of 55. So essentially 90%, give or take. That's far too many. Far too many scored. Shouldn't that? And the fact that this is happening now, again, highlights the fact that penalties are getting easier.
It does. It does. Nice to have a world record, though. It's good, that, isn't it? It's good to have a world record.
I mean, it's always nice when new records are set. Yeah, I guess. Although not when it's for penalties.
You got one? You in the Guinness Book of World Records?
I don't think so, but I'm getting the impression you must be.
Yeah, it's not a big deal, is it, mate? It's
you sound very much like David Brent right now.
We'll also move on.
Go on. What's it for?
Nah, we've done it before, mate. It's not a big deal. I think we have spoken about it before. It's not. To be fair, it's a rubbish one. We'll talk about it another time.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I won't dwell on that
now.
Leave
them hanging. Open that loop. Leave them hanging.
We'll just finish. Scott Carson, by the way, nice to see him come on for Manchester City. A lovely touch from Pep there. 17 years after his last Champions League appearance for Liverpool.
Yeah, very cool. No, and it was nice. He enjoyed it. Made a really good save as well when he came on. And it is interesting looking, certainly at social media, like the amount of love that Scott Carson gets. They really do value him as part of the squad. Obviously, great character to have around as well. No doubt he'll stay there for another year or two, playing the role that he does.
And finally, Mr. Cascarino. Mm. We have to touch on it, because this is going to link into Gigi Donnarumma and the game between Real Madrid and PSG, the second leg of that Champions League tie last week. Foul or no foul?
Foul.
First, yeah, quite clearly
absolute
a foul.
Absolute foul, yeah. Yeah, go on.
And Cascarino. So, this was a clip from TalkSport. Like I said, I'm a bit reluctant to talk about it because I haven't listened to TalkSport in a while. I just felt like the coverage has become so ridiculous and clickbaity now that,
that
it's
what,
just a case of, let's say, yeah, I think so. Let's just say something utterly outrageous to get the clicks on socials, to get people ringing in. And whether he believes it or not, I don't know. I just feel like they're almost becoming a parody of themselves. I think Simon Jordan is actually quite good. I think he raises some good points, but he obviously gets wound up sometimes. It's almost like they go, right, Simon, we're going to wind you up and off you go. And then they almost become, like I said, parody of themselves, and they believe these characters that they are portraying, and they get so into an argument that sometimes they're not even that supportive of, but it's almost like they're acting. And in this case, I mean, what Cascarino was saying was utterly, utterly absurd. Basically saying that goalkeepers are failed outfielders and that's how they've made their way in the game.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess we have to talk about it. It's just idiotic. Just no intelligence at all shown. No counter argument again. But this is why I'm assuming that he has been part to it. But then that's still up to him.
Exactly.
Like, if TalkSport are telling you to say utter nonsense and make yourself look like an idiot, have the balls to say, no, I will not say these ridiculous things and make myself look like an absolute fool just so that you pay me. Like, I've got too much about me to do that, because the points raised, whoever's raised these points, if it is Cascarino or the TalkSport producers have told him to say this, because obviously he said a couple of lines, hasn't he, which I think he's obviously known are going to be the clickbait lines. So it was the, who is it, someone's best player?
It was David De Gea being the best player for Man City.
Man City's best player. Which is, so that's why it just says to me, someone's told you to say these lines, because that's the kind of line, in the same way that you'll see a president give a speech or Boris Johnson give a speech, and he's got a certain line that he knows is gonna stick. It was, he had two or three of those that he included in this, but just nonsense. And it's kind of one of them, I don't know, I guess we should address it, but at the same time, should we?
Ultimately, he's talking about playing out from the back, right? So it's a classic argument, but again, with no substance to his argument whatsoever. He's not looked at it objectively in any way, and it's so far beyond the reality of modern football now. This is a guy that played in the top flight in England, in France. He's played at World Cups, for crying out loud, and he cannot see how modern football has progressed. It's such an archaic perspective.
That's the amount of times I saw dinosaur written under the comments, because okay, if we're going to actually talk about this, then what is the alternative to what he's suggested, that goalkeepers go long all the time again? Should we go back to that and what, keep possession 20%, give or take, of the time, and therefore the opposition have far more attacks, far more possession of the football, and bombard you with much more to do? And of course, this is the way football has gone this way, in that the more you keep possession, of course, the more chance you've got of scoring, the more you'll build attacks, etc., etc. So going back to that style of football, you're only going to invite more and more pressure, and ordinarily you will lose. The best teams have goalkeepers that play in the way that they play now. Yes, there are teams that still play a reasonably direct. You could use Burnley as an example, that yes, they survive ordinarily, but it's very rare that you're going to see a team like Burnley, and partly because of budgets and what have you, but play that style of football and be at the top of the table. You just don't have enough possession of the football. So goalkeeping isn't going to change or go back to what it was previously. And yes, are you going to misplace a pass from time to time? Yeah, of course you are. The Donnarumma one's a joke, by the way. Like, again, you've got these outfield pundits, and I mean, Glenn Hoddle is, you know, in terms of lists of who's the... You know, I know we talk about Gary Neville, Jamie Carragher a lot. Glenn Hoddle, my word, like, his understanding of goalkeeping is, and for someone who was an international manager for a period of time, it's really, really shocking, if I'm honest. So when he's talking about this situation, just got to clear it. Look at it objectively. Yes, it hasn't worked out for Donnarumma in the past that he's made, but he's fouled. He's passed it, and then he's barged over. How that hasn't gone to VAR, how that's not seen as a foul anywhere else on the field, that is the most obvious foul. Yet you've then got these pundits, again, all ex-outfield players, are just looking at it from the outfielder's point of view. It's very easy to be disparaging towards the goalkeeper in this situation, but look at it objectively. All right, the pass didn't quite work out, but is it a foul? He's gone to play the ball and he's been budged over. Like, yes, it is a clear and obvious foul, but that's not the narrative that they wanted to go down. They wanted it to be PSG blowing up again. They wanted it to be the fact that Donnarumma's made a mistake here, even though Pochettino has come out and said, it's a foul. Of course it's a foul. Like, but no one wants to look into that narrative. That doesn't feed the mainstream media about what's going on at PSG. So it's just all, yeah, it's just all nonsense. And going back to the Cascarino stuff, if that is genuinely what he thinks, then I don't know what happens. Like, ideally, the annoying thing is we are now talking about it, which is the point. That's what TalkSport want. That's what they have done. They've fed him with these lines, and now they've got some airtime here and on social media. So look, that is what it is. But if it is actually genuinely Cascarino's point of view, then I don't know. Do people just stop tuning in to TalkSport in order to make a stand? Do you get rid of him because he's a dinosaur? Do you... Probably not. I don't know. I don't know what happens, but no, this, I just feel like there needs to be more from a goalkeeping perspective. We keep coming back to it, and I think it will be, whether it is a, I've given this thought before, like a Kasper Schmeichel when he retires, or there's so many out there that can, that have played at the very top level for a long period of time, that have that kind of aura about them, have the CV behind them, that they can sit there and fight back when it is some of these idiotic comments that are being made. But it needs to happen soon.
I also don't think that he's doing that type of category of individual any favours either, because I'm sure Tony Cascarino has some good points to make. He's, you know, he had an extensive career in the game, and he's actually been in the media for a long time. And I think he obviously got in there when he got in there early, didn't he? I think if he came to the media now, he wouldn't have a chance. But I also think that people like that still deserve a chance. I don't buy into the fact that only kids can talk to kids. I think when we were younger, we looked up to, you know, those elder statesmen and women as people to aspire to, and we took their opinion with some respect. You know, we held them in high regard. And I think that the likes of Tony Cascarino have an opportunity, a platform now, to really speak to a younger audience, and not just a younger audience, but just have a good argument. But that doesn't help matters when you come out and you do sound like a dinosaur, just an ex-footballer who's got absolutely no idea what you're talking about. Doesn't do you any favours. It's actually really good. There's a good YouTube link that I would recommend anybody take a look at, and it's Matthew Syed and Tony Cascarino. It was actually on Twitter recently. I've been looking for it for ages. It was on Twitter recently where Matthew Syed, who was from ages ago, is talking about sports washing and Roman Abramovich. And that's the reason it's resurfaced now. And Syed produces this marvelously eloquent argument about how Abramovich amassed his wealth and the cultural impact that's had on football. And he called it a deeply corrosive influence on football. Anyway, he presented this brilliant argument. Jim White then goes to Tony Cascarino. What do you think? Wow, he won trophies, didn't he? He won games, he won trophies. It's like, my word, what is going on here? Such ridiculous responses to that type of argument. But it just goes to show, doesn't it? Like you said, there was nothing as part of that argument. And if I go back to what I was going to mention earlier on Aaron Ramsdale, there you have a classic case. That clip I sent you was about 2 minutes where it goes Ramsdale, left back Ramsdale, Ramsdale, left back Ramsdale about three or four times before he then goes the other side and then it comes back round again.
Yeah. There's so much to pick up on there. But no, you're right. It's very easy again to pick out the points when it doesn't work out for a goalkeeper. And it's very easy to then come out with the comments that he has. Again, I certainly keep coming back to the same point, which is why is he talking about goalkeeping with such authority? But again, I keep coming back to when does it change? Because that's, again, it seems to be the theme of this show, theme of so many shows. When does it change? How does it change? Is it one where, and you mentioned about TalkSport, and there's a few, I guess, like this, where it of course goes down this road because it does spark debate. That's I get that. Like, I don't genuinely think that Tony Cascarino thinks these things. I think he's been fed a few lines. Again, I'm sure that's the case, but it works. It still works. But is there a point when actually that becomes less and less, where fewer and fewer people are listening to that, and maybe they are consuming information from different sources? We know, certainly, you know, we get the numbers here on the podcast. We know there's so many of you that listen in, and we're very grateful for that. I know there are a lot of other podcasts as well, similarly, that are getting more and more interest attention, which you would think, in theory, means that the likes of some of these, the mainstream media, is becoming less and less, because there isn't necessarily that intellectual debate, that intelligent input, which is done with a little bit of thought behind it and a bit of insight behind it. So you do wonder whether that in time will just naturally become less and less, and people with those opinions, if those are genuinely his opinions, will become less and less significant. And as you say, there are some, because it's not an ageist thing either. Like, you know, we talk about the good ones that are out there, and there's so many good ones that aren't goalkeepers, weren't goal. I'll always bring up Ali McCoys because it's just so level-headed. He's not doing it to gain attention, to spark debate. He's just giving honest opinion. And when he doesn't understand, he will say that, or he will give an opinion based on the fact that maybe he doesn't know as much as he might know about the position, and he'll make a point of that. So I just think there's ways and means you can go about it. But naturally, the ego being what the ego is in all of us, you know, which is, look, I've got an ego as much as the next person. But of course, if you've got a position of power like that, it's going to feed the ego more and more. You're going to start to believe your opinions more and more, and you will just fire off things left, right, and center without any real remorse. No one's going to say anything against you, certainly when it comes to goalkeeping, because there are no goalkeeping experts on there to give that opinion. So you can say whatever you want. Gary Neville, Jamie Carragher, Graham Souness, Roy Keane, Tony Cascarino in this case, and nobody's going to come back at you.
Okay, we said it was going to be bumper. It has been.
Really has been. That's been quite the show.
A new radio station. That's what we need. I love sport. What have we got at the end of it?
We have got Joe Lumley with a voice note. I've seen it on my phone. I'm assuming this is the voice note.
Absolutely fantastic. Well, we're going to slip that about 45 minutes prior to this.
Absolutely.
So.
There you go.
Delightful. How's the knee? Okay.
Better, thank you. Yeah? The pain has subsided.
Is that from years of being a goalkeeper? Is that
years
what happened?
Being a goalkeeper.
Sitting in the same position.
Yeah, but I think we're going to be okay.
Good. Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast, Between the Sticks. Keepers
away.